Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Gene Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results, made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
This is so cool. Don't Tell Comedy is sponsoring this podcast. Don't Tell Comedy are comedy shows that happen in these really intimate, unique spaces like art galleries and backyards and rooftops. I did one of their first shows in 2017. It was in a random clothing store in LA. Now they are in 150 cities worldwide. You got to check them out. They are such a perfect night out. Don't Tell Comedy is the spot to go. Date night, alone night, friend night, whatever you want it to be. It's so fun. Get tickets at DontTellComedy.com. Use the code Nikki for 20% off your first show. Looking for some amazing TV to stream? Indulge yourself with the hits on Hulu you can't miss. Dive in with Barney, Ted, Robin, and the gang on How I Met Your Mother. All 9 seasons are now streaming on Hulu. Then you can move to Modern Family, Schitt's Creek, and My Wife and Kids. We are talking every single episode of every season of these shows. We're talking huge hits. Streaming on Hulu whenever you're in the mood. Now we're talking.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast. Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Here's Nikki.
Hello, here I am. Welcome to the show. It's the Nikki Glaser Podcast. I'm here in St. Louis with Andrew Collin, and that mic cover is still sitting there that smells like poop from where you threw it a week ago.
I mean, who knows what it smells like now? Maybe it went away. I can't test
Can
it again.
Can you? I don't. Can I kick it over to you?
No, you go. Wait, no. We go at the same time. I'll smell it in between.
Okay, we'll smell it like a, what's it called? Like a Lady in the Tramp.
Here, put it on the llama's nose or the hedgehog.
Okay. Ready? I think it's gone.
We think it's gone.
I didn't get a good enough whiff.
I didn't either.
Will you? Wait, get in there.
On it, shit goes away.
Okay. Oh, all right. Nice. I regret writing Amazon. They told me I had to return it. I was like, I'm not touching that thing.
No, it would burn the fucking packaging.
Yeah. And Amazon, famously, if you return anything to them, they throw it away. It ends up in landfills, whatever you return.
I like that was like our version of eating spaghetti together.
That's what I said. It was the lady in the tramp.
Sorry. Yeah. Who's the tramp? Can I be the lady?
Sure.
Thanks.
With those sunglasses. Andrew has on 4th of July sunglasses. Did you get those on the 4th?
Cardinals game.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That was like the prize that they gave you?
No, yeah, I bought them. I mean, it wasn't expensive. They're not polarized. They might be polarizing.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean.
Because people either hate them or they really hate them.
Well, I think if anything's really pro-America, if you're a guy wearing like an America flat, like for a for a cape, people think that's a little much.
I was trying to test Chris's vision the other day because he was like, I think I need to like get glasses for the first time ever. And so I started like asking him. We were just like in at the gate, and so I was staring out at like the airfield. And I'm like, "What about that? Like, can you read what's on that?" And he was like, "I think it says flammable, but I just kind of know that it would say flammable, you know,
yeah.
Or like, you know, bags only or whatever it is." And so, and then I was like, "What about that? How many stripes are on that flag? It was American flag. Do you know how many stripes are on the flag?
Yeah.
How many?
I'd have to see it. No, I would say it's Fuck, it's not, it's 50 stars,
mm-hmm.
And then it's, I think it's the original colony, yeah, maybe? So yeah. 16 stripes?
13.
13. 13. Damn. Yeah. Not bad, though.
Why did they end on a unlucky number? They should have just done one more.
Do you think it was unlucky then? When did 13 become?
Probably later, because of witches. And witches came after colonies.
Yeah, no, witches were before colonies, weren't
no,
they?
No, colonies, like Jamestown, witch trials, Salem, okay, I guess that was all after we settled. Yeah. They were burning witches. God. And they used to do that thing of like, they would drown you, and if you survived, you were a witch. And if you drowned, they knew you weren't a witch. So either way, you're fucked. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wait, so they drown you?
So like if they suspected you were a witch, they would like tie like a fucking thing to your leg and throw you in the water. And if you were able to like float up and survive or somehow get out of it, you were a witch. And it confirmed it. And then they would maybe burn you or whatever.
Oh, so you're going to
And if you drown, they'd be like, oh, well, whoopsie.
Gotcha.
Guess she was immortal.
So either way, you die.
Immortal, not immortal. Yeah.
How does the witch become, like, is it just a woman that got a little loud at the bar?
Well, you know, it was all, they fled for their, like, the Puritans fled to have religious freedom to be religious fucking insane people.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like, anything that would go against religion, which was witchcraft, or, you know, girls swooning, people fainting in church, or like, you know, so just a woman that would be kind of weird or like older that no one wanted to fuck anymore, and she was just kind of like said something weird, and then someone's dog died, they'd be like, she did it, and then they would just, because it gave them an excuse, and it was anti-religion.
I just love that Jesus turned,
and
you know, a stick into a snake, or water into wine.
Right.
He was a huge witch.
Yeah, such a witch.
Long hair.
That's blasphemous.
No, but like a hot witch.
Oh, yeah. Like a sandwich. In The Craft.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like Neve Campbell in The Craft. Do you ever watch that movie?
What's the other one with the three girls? And not Heathers, although I loved that movie back in the day.
I never saw that movie.
Oh, you would like it.
Yeah.
A lot of betrayal and love. And
kind of Cruel Intentions.
Yeah, it's that kind of feeling. A lot of murder. Christian Slater. What's the other one where they're all witches? There's three of them. Maybe it is The Craft. Okay.
And then oh man, I love the scene where the popular girl in school who played Jan Brady who played Marsha Brady in the revamp of the Brady Bunch, also married to
Ben Stiller.
Yes. Yeah. What's her name? Christine Taylor, I think. Stiller. She was also in Hey Dude. But anyway, she was the popular girl in high school in The Craft. And to get revenge on her, they like, you know, put a fucking hoax on her or whatever. And all her hair fell out, which is like a popular blonde girl's nightmare. And she's like,
that's your nightmare.
It's my nightmare.
Oh my God.
But it's my daydream. It's your reality, Noah.
Yeah. Also, yeah. She had blonde hair, right? Obviously, then. Ben Stiller's wife's a blondie.
Yeah.
It's always the cool girl in the high school movies.
I liked
had
that
blonde
they broke
hair.
Up. They almost like they separated.
Oh.
And I think they were really? Leading to divorce, and then they reconciled, and now they're back together. You know, I like that.
Oh, a nice reconcile.
People just are this. I was talking to Girls Gotta Eat Girls yesterday about getting back together with your ex-boyfriend, and so many people are so anti get back with your ex, and I've never understood not doing that, because you already have love there. You probably, a lot of times I think you break up because you don't have the tools to get through a fight or a disagreement.
Argument, yeah.
And I think, yeah, or like, and you're too young to understand, like, these things are fine. Like, I just reposted this Esther Perel
so good
story. Did you see
refinery.
It, Noah?
Yeah.
Whenever I hear that, I just picture a large thing of lotion. I don't know why.
Purell.
Yeah, she's very... Oh, and maybe that's what it is.
Yeah. Esther Perel.
I just see it in my bathroom.
And she says, seven relationship myths to stop believing. It does sound like her, right?
You got it.
Thank you. Myth. People in a relationship don't flirt. Myth. Honesty is the best policy. Myth. Bad sex should always be a relationship deal breaker. Myth.
Myth.
Your significant other should be your best friend. Myth. Fighting is always a sign that something is wrong.
Myth.
Myth. Once a cheater, always a cheater.
Myth.
Myth. To get past cheating, you must forgive and forget, or just dump the cheater.
Myth.
Now, did any of those strike you? I know you were focused on saying myth.
Yeah.
But did you hear anything of what I was saying?
No.
Like, could you either repeat one of those back to me besides once a cheater, always a cheater?
Myth. Honestly, I was listening. No, I got best friend. Shouldn't be best friends. People don't flirt.
Well, yeah, these are myths.
I got the first four.
That your significant other should be your best friend. I always do. I mean, good for you if your significant other is your best friend. But I think that shows signs of like, well, you might not be having other. You just don't have other friends because your significant other is everything to you, which mm-hmm. leads me to believe a little bit of codependency. It's not bad if they're one of your best friends, which Chris is one of my best friends. But is he my best? I wouldn't be like, he's my one and only. It's like people who say, I bet people who say that their boyfriends or their girlfriends are the best friend are the same people who say their dad or their mom was their best friend. You need friends, bitch. Yeah. You need to get actual girlfriends who aren't like, you know.
He's my only friend. Like sometimes you have that in relationships. They're my only real friend.
Well, you know, and sometimes that's the case.
Put so
like
much
I've talked about
it.
Friendship before. If you can't find friends, it's sometimes it's not you. It really is just circumstantial. But that doesn't mean you should give up and be like, my boyfriend's my only friend, my best friend.
Well, I think it's tough when you date someone and they don't want you to have any friends. That's a whole nother thing. Oh boy.
Yeah.
What
But I think some of these bubble in my throat. They are things that people really do think that bad sex should always be a relationship deal breaker. And I just, to me, I would say that if I didn't have a good, fulfilling sex life with my partner, I would probably, well, that's, you know,
well, you would give it a conversation or two.
Yeah that's what she says. Sure. You could work on it.
Yeah. And you can maybe, you know, if the person doesn't, because some people are asexual and they still deserve to be in a relationship, and maybe you just go, okay, well, you can have sex with other people, or, you know, there's a way around it. You don't have to, it doesn't have to be a deal breaker.
I think if someone's bad at sex or is not giving you what you need and then also is stubborn about changing anything, that's a different thing than, you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
I think that you can, you just have to be open and honest. I think so many relationships, you probably just go, well, this person's fucking me bad. It should end. They're not really into me. They, you know, without having a conversation.
Or it's too scary to have a conversation because you feel like you're going to hurt their feelings.
Or you'll find out something about yourself that they don't find attractive, maybe.
Yeah. Or, you might find out that they're not into you. It might be a fear. Or my fear would be I'm so scared of, like, if I were to be like, I don't like when you do this, or I do want you to do this more. They'd go like, well, I want you to, then you're messing up this. Like, you get defensive and tell you what you're doing wrong. And
but then
the fear
are you in
of
a
that
relationship?
Would make me just shut down. What was that?
But then are you in a relationship or are you just like in a hookup? I feel like someone who's in a relationship with you probably wouldn't say that.
I've been in relationships where I couldn't communicate like that because of fear that they would just say something back of was like, well, you do this. People that do that in relationship or like any kind of argument, ugh. I just can't. I'm open to like, yes, I'm not coming at you because I'm perfect. Let's talk about my shit at another time. But like the instant defense of like, well, you do this is like, okay, well, you know what? This conversation's over. I can't do it unless it can just be. I mean, I'm open to that. But do you see what I'm saying? Like when people just instantly, it negates everything you say because no one's perfect. Of course, everyone's going to be a little hypocritical, but it doesn't.
It's hard not to get it depends how you come. Like, we've talked about this. Like, defense, you get defensive if you feel like someone's being too offensive. So then if you come at them and go, you know, I would really appreciate it if you might go down on me longer, or you haven't been in the last few weeks. And
yes.
I really could use, you know, a good head in.
Yes.
That'd be great. Yes. As opposed to, like, you never eat my pussy.
Right.
You see those two things, like then.
The words never and always, you should probably try to eradicate from any kind of conversations that you have. Yes. I've heard that advice before of like, because no one always does something or never does something. And those words, man, they already set
they
you up for
me.
Like.
Those trigger me a lot.
Well, they set you up for this person's lying. This person's exaggerating. So all of a sudden, if you say, Nikki, you always do something, I go, well, he's full of shit because I don't always do something. So already I have you as a liar and like, don't take what you're saying seriously because you're being emotional, you're exaggerating. So that's good advice. I have a thing where it's like in the past, I've felt like so often men care, which I'm so glad that men care about my pleasure when I'm having sex. Like, there's been a lot of times where it wasn't even a part of the conversation, my pleasure. But then I think sometimes there's always this thing in guys' head where, like, they need to make you come. You have to come. Oh. Like, it has to be even. And sometimes I'm like, I don't mind just being a CD. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Right now. I don't mind. I kind of like it. And I really, really don't understand this. Can you help me understand this from a woman's perspective?
Mm-hmm.
Why women suddenly give up on blowjobs? And I know this is like a cliche thing, but it is real. I read about it on Reddit in different forums. Women stop doing blowjobs after they get married or eventually they... I would rather give a blowjob. If I'm not feeling in the mood for sex, which happens about 3 days before I start bleeding, those 3 days, no interest in sex, no horniness, dry as a bone. Those days, I would rather, if I still want my partner to be pleased during those times and he's horny and I want to give him that pleasure because I love him and because I want him to feel close to me and all those things, and I don't mind it, I would much rather suck a dick than get a penis in my vagina because I'm turned off down there. Like, it's like,
yes,
my CD drive is dusty. And I'd rather just suck a dick. But why do women stop? Why do women think blowjobs are so hard to do? I think it's harder to have a penis in your vagina than to suck a dick. I think sucking dick is like very simple.
I just feel like, Sorry.
I was going to say, just very quickly, I don't know because I relate to you, but maybe women think that like they have to give a blowjob from like start to finish instead of like mixing it up with their hand, and it's like, oh, too much work, or like I have...
Oh, you need to do hand. Guys want hand.
Yeah.
I love a hand. I think what it is too is I think guys, once you get a blowjob, you're thinking, now look, some guys just want to have an orgasm from a blowjob, but I would feel like as a woman, if I start blowing the guy, he's going to expect to have sex with me. So like, let's say you want to be closed off down there, your CD.
Yeah.
But it might be scary for you to start blowing him. And then next thing you know, the CD starts to open, you know, the CD player is like, okay, now it's time to go there. And it's like, no, this is just that.
Yes.
I'd be hard pressed to see a guy, you know, some guys don't like blowjobs either, which is not, I would say, but the minority.
Like, there's a lot of women who don't like giving blowjobs. And I want to understand, is it because it takes too long for them to come sometimes? Is it because it hurts your mouth because it's too big or something like that? Like, to me, it's just the easiest way to get a guy off that isn't like putting it in your...
I think, I don't know. I mean, as a woman,
I would just rather be used in a hole that is not supposed to feel anything, as opposed to putting it in a hole that is supposed to feel something and doesn't. Like, I hate when I'm having my vagina stimulated and there's nothing, there's no feeling. Like, I feel like I'm broken, as opposed to if I just did this with my mouth, which already does not have any sexual sensations inside it. I would rather just get that job done with my mouth because I'm, and then that means like, that's almost what I can offer you during that time, more so than any other time. But I think I've had to in the past communicate that like a blowjob does not mean I want this in my vagina. And when I say I don't want it, like it's not like, oh, I'm not ready. It's like nothing is going to get me there.
Do you think that people are just inherently selfish and they're like, well, if I'm just blowing you, nothing's happening to me. I'm not going to have an orgasm. I'd rather just watch this show than blow you. You know what I mean?
Like, but I got to say, women, if your husbands aren't getting blown or not getting off,
they're going to blow up the house.
They're going to.
Something's getting blown. It's your head.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah, that's bad.
But they're going to go. You can't deprive someone of a human need that they have and not expect them to cheat on you. I hate to say that. It's like someone could never cheat. I know that's the worst thing ever, but what do you expect them to do?
I think
what do women expect men to do? They have an insatiable need to come and spread their seed, just jerk off the rest of their lives. But some women don't even like that.
But here, I think, honestly, that I think
you won't fuck him.
I think the onus there is kind of being put on the woman. I think a lot of times guys, we're not vocal about like, I would really love a blowjob. Instead, we go, let me go, you know, shoot guns instead of asking my wife for a blowjob. Like, like we're afraid to get rejected.
Yeah, I don't think it's like women. I'm not telling you like, just do it. Even if you don't like it, that's not what I'm saying. Don't misconstrue my words. I'm just saying like, if you you know, I even say this to my friends who like are in relationships and they don't get touched by their husband. And I'm like, well, then he should expect you to, he knows that's a basic need of yours.
Yeah.
You, if you've communicated that to him and he still can't do it, then honestly, he should not be surprised when you go get touched by someone else.
Dude, I've heard of relationships where they're together, they live together, no sex for over a year.
No, I know. That is nothing and compared to what I've heard.
Whoa, you've heard a decade? What are these, witches? Mean, yeah. What is this? Drown them up. That's wild.
We have people listening right now that are going, that is nothing.
Yeah, I don't mean to hate on you. Just it just doesn't get brought. It gets to the point where it gets so past the date where you can't even bring
and
it up anymore.
Your anniversary is coming and you're like, God, fuck, I have to do it this weekend.
Oh, you think they dread having to do it?
Yes.
Oh, I thought.
Usually sex is stopping because one of the people is not wanting it anymore, or maybe both, but I think it's usually one.
Mm-hmm.
And the other person just feels, what is worse than asking for someone for something that they don't want to give you? Oh, God.
That's tough.
And it's not like women, like, this is usually the woman thing, like the women being less into it because our libidos are more, you know, at the behest of our fucking raging weird hormones. And so I'm not saying like just suck it up literally and just do it, but like how many things do you do in a relationship that you don't want to do because it's the nice thing to do? Why do we think of touching someone or kissing someone or giving a blowjob is like, oh, that's, you should never have to do that. I
would think that I would think,
guys don't want to take out the trash, but they do it.
But I think the...
or kill a spider for you.
But I think the percentage of
put a spider on your dick.
That go down
or no,
on...
no, wait. The other way around.
That go down on women without expecting... with their CD being off is way lower than like girls just blowing guys like and not expecting anything.
Men have a bigger sex drive and more need than women do.
Okay, I see. So that's why. So you think, okay, so
yeah.
Men...
That's what I hate is that every time I give something, I'm always with generous lovers that demand that I get something back. They want it to be a fair trade. And they also like getting me off. It's part of that for them. But sometimes I do not want to come. It's not in my... Sometimes I can push through, but there are a lot of times I do not want it. And I just want to be able to just give a blowjob. And that's been hard to communicate at times in my life because it also makes it seem like I'm not attracted to you. I just want to be this wife that's just like giving a blowjob just because you deserve it. But it's like, no, I like giving blowjob. Yeah. It's like giving a foot rub to someone. I like giving pleasure, even if I'm not getting any in return. That actually gives me pleasure. It's called compersion. To give someone pleasure, gives you pleasure. So there you have it. Okay, let's take a quick break and come back with more. Andrew!
Coming down with a Kit Kat bar. Remember that?
Yeah.
Are you looking for some amazing TV to stream? Well, sink into your couch and indulge with the hits on Hulu you can't miss. We're talking some of the greatest comedies of all time. Absolute must-watch shows. Dive in with Barney, Ted, Robin, and the crew in How I Met Your Mother. All 9 seasons of How I Met Your Mother are now streaming on Hulu right now. One of my favorite shows ever. And I mean, don't you want to know how he met their mother? Then go back home with the Dumfies, the Pritchetts, and the Pritchett Tuckers in Modern Family. Then you can start over with the Roses on Schitt's Creek. And then see what's up in the Kyle household in My Wife and Kids. We're talking every episode and every season of these shows. We're talking huge hits, streaming on Hulu whenever you're in the mood. I mean, can you even watch all of this? We think so. Head on over to Hulu and start streaming today. Now we're talking. Well, the weather is getting a lot warmer, and so your wardrobe probably needs an update. I know mine does, and it's so hard when you want to buy new stuff because you want it to last a long time, you want it to look really good, and you want it to, like, stand the test of time in terms of, like, fashion. At least that's what I want. And so that's why I love Quince, because Quince is all about effortless fashion that looks chic and timeless year-round. I'm talking premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30. Washable silk top. They have so many chic jewelry pieces, like these globe boho hoops. I love those. You could just blindly click and end up with such wardrobe essentials. They're not wasting your time at Quince. I love the Quince dress I got. I'm trying to find it because I want to say the exact name of it, but it's like this long sleeve dress, but it's like a midi skirt. It's so cute. It's like silky feeling. It's just, I've told you about it before. Okay, there's so much cute stuff on here. I got to go and get back to the podcast, but you know what to do. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/Nikki for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince, quince.com/Nikki to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/Nikki. Oh my God, you guys, I'm so excited that Don't Tell Comedy is sponsoring this podcast because they have like all of my favorite clips on Instagram Reels. I'm constantly discovering new comedians from these clips. And I always like, how do you even go to these shows? Where are they happening? Well, now I know because I have the information right here. You can go to one of these shows. Don't Tell Comedy are putting on the coolest comedy shows in the country. This isn't like a comedy club. This isn't a theater. These are small, unique venues like on rooftops, backyards, art galleries. If you're looking for a fun night out in your town, which it's probably in your town because these shows used to just be in LA and now they are all over the country, 150 cities in Canada, the US, and the UK. Don't Tell Comedy is the best thing for you to go out and explore and do. You're going to see amazing new comedians. You're going to see pop-ins from famous comedians. You've seen the clips online. Be a part of the experience live in person and do it on me, guys. Get tickets at don'ttellcomedy.com and then use the code Nikki for 20% off your first show. 20% off. That's freaking good. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, I have the podcast to really vent about stuff that's been bothering me, but even that, I can't say some of the stuff I need to sometimes. And there's certain things you just really can't tell anyone, and that's when you need a therapist. They're just there to listen. They can handle it. They've heard it all before. They can tolerate it. And that's why I love therapists. Don't think that you have to get through anything you're dealing with alone. That is not the way being a human works. You need to tell someone. Please take this opportunity and check out BetterHelp because they will find you a therapist who will meet your needs. I've benefited so much from therapy of saying the darkest stuff I would never even say in the podcast. And I know you're like, wait a second, you leave dark stuff off the podcast? Yes, I get even darker, if you can believe it. So if you're starting of thinking giving therapy a try, try through BetterHelp. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. And it's online and you can leave your therapist at any point with no questions asked. So this is perfect for someone who's noncommittal, who's scared, who's never tried therapy before. Get whatever you've got off your chest. Get it off your chest. With BetterHelp, visit betterhelp.com/Nikki Glaser today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Nikki Glaser.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, we're back. How's your day been so far?
My day? My day's good.
I
wake up early in the morning. You know, Brenna has morning with a bottle of Jack. Mm-hmm. And she has work in the morning, so I was telling Noah how I make her coffee. And it's like I pack her a little school lunch.
Cute.
I'd pat her on the head. I'm
what
like,
do you make for lunch?
I cut up peppers for her, and I cut up like different things. I'll make her
just
a sandwich.
Gives her peppers.
I don't know.
I was like, it's like she eating enough?
I let her smell a pepper, and then I say, you could go out the window.
Do you know that you can eat a pepper like an apple?
What? With the seeds?
The seeds are, I mean, they're in the middle, so you can bite into it, and they're pretty hollow.
Yeah, they are pretty hollow.
So you can eat them like an apple. You'll get some stares.
It's kind of hard to cut. There's always one slice that's kind of hard with how they're shaped in the middle.
I love peppers so much.
Oh, you ever put it, I'm sure you don't, maybe you did this, put the vegan cream cheese in it with a little everything bagel seasoning.
Ooh, I bet that's so good.
Fucking delicious. Yes. It's a great meal. Anyways, yeah, so I've been up on.
I don't know about meal, but snack?
Yeah.
Where's the protein in that?
It's somewhere. So then I went and I hit golf balls. I go to this place called Tower Tea, and they have like the most amazing setup there ever. Like, insane. Like, they have all these different track mans that keep track of, like, how far you're hitting it. And I just hit balls, and it's my meditative.
Where is that? Stop calling it meditative. I just can't.
Meditative? Wait, what is the word? Am I wrong?
No, it's not wrong. I'm just like, guys convincing themselves sports is... I know
it is.
It's not that it's meditative. It's just, like, it's a thing. It's a leisure activity you like to do that makes you feel good, but...
It's a quarter meditative.
Okay.
It puts you in a certain mindset where you're just honed in and focused on
where you're
activity.
Doing something over and over again.
Yes.
You're very just, like.
What do you think about during it? Do you think of golf or does your mind wander everywhere?
literally, I think of nothing other than
yeah.
the shot. That's why it's meditative to me.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Sometimes so, thoughts will creep
why
in.
Why did you go to this new place and why have you never been there before if it's so amazing?
I didn't know about it. Someone told, you know, sometimes you just don't yeah. know about the
word
the,
of mouth.
The treasure right in yeah. your backyard.
Where is it?
I don't know.
How far of a drive?
15 minutes.
Oh, that's not bad.
But yeah, no, I don't know. That's pretty much what I do. That's pretty much my life is I just do that. I nice. Cut up some peppers and I hit some golf balls. I had sex last night and I had heartburn. And
oh.
it's so funny to like as a, when you get older, instead of taking Viagra, you take a Zantac. The fuck? The only way I
do you ever take Viagra anymore?
Yeah. Yeah. I took one. The night before, and I had too bad heartburn to even fuck. And,
but you had a boner?
And Brenna called me out on taking it because she saw it in the trash can.
So and she knew like, that you wanted to fuck and then you couldn't?
She's like, are you hard right now? I'm like...
I'm going to tell Brenna to start digging in the trash because he's going to start hiding it now.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to eat the whole wrapper like a pepper.
Why? Eat the seed.
I saw your family the other day. That was wild.
Oh, yeah, that's so wild. I just saw them today.
Oh, how was that?
It was so fun. I bring presents dude, to them every single time.
Is amazing.
Isn't he so cute?
He's the third.
He's the third kid. He's like, he was born in November.
He's a mon. He's a big boy.
He's a
boy.
big baby, but he's so like, his eyelashes are so long and he's so laughs. Happy. Oh. He's just like, he's just a little rumpus. Oh, I love dude. Him. And then Poppy and Arlo are... They've gotten in this trend of like they know that I always bring them presents because
you still keep a
kids
box
toys
of toys
are so cheap. Yeah, I keep them all in my
trunk
in my car, so and then I have a drawer here. So every time I'm anywhere, I just buy toys so that I always have something to bring them because
that's
I just
so want nice
to be associated
you.
With. But then every time I come over, they Nicky and they like hug me, and then Arlo starts just looking at my bags and like aww. Looking on the porch because I might leave something out there. Like they know I'm
yeah.
And then they open the present, they
you know it's like
they
it's,
make it start working. Then they start crying because it's not working the way they want it to. It's just exactly how I used to do it. And then they want Encanto put back on, and then they don't even say goodbye to me when I go. I love you, and I'm like kissing them. No goodbyes. So they I don't think I'm training them right.
They look at you like the guys like a valet parks your car like at a hotel and wants a tip, and you're just like I just don't. It's like that awkward
yes
like
of
feeling.
Like sorry, do you have Venmo?
And really like I don't care if you die in your car. I just want money.
Yeah. They yeah. just I want them to associate me with presents because it's fun to get a present. And presents are kids' toys. I mean, you go to Target. I went to TJ Maxx today before I went over there. $7.99 for like this amazing squirt gun. I'm like, how can I pass that up? Like $7 for a Barbie? I mean, kids don't care.
I think the only problem you're going to run into is that, and I don't know why people do this. Like they save it for birthdays, for Christmas. Or for like after you do well on the honor roll. It's always like it has to be like you did something for this.
Yeah.
As opposed to here's just a gift.
No, it's
people
just
are
like because
nice.
I love you.
Yeah.
And because I want to buy your love because I'm not around enough to really get in there. And I don't like to play enough.
Yeah.
So here's a toy.
So for $7.99.
I want their dopamine to shoot up when they see me. And then every time they see me, eventually Pavlov's dog, those kids are going to be drooling. That's what I want. But Poppy is so cute, and she really reminded me of me today because I gave her this Barbie, and it was her first Barbie, and it was a mermaid, and I told my sister, you know, all Barbies, like, give your daughter body dysmorphia, but at least this one is actually an unachievable thing for her. Like, yeah. It's probably more achievable than most Barbies with legs, you know? So she puts on the mermaid fin, like, the end of the fin, because it needed to be, like, clipped on. And then all of a sudden, she's just, like, screaming because she wants it off. She wants it off, and it's just not right the way she wanted it. It came out of the package without the fin, and so she wanted it that way, and she's screamed, like, crying. And I'm like, this toy has brought terror into this child's life, and it reminded me of this Barbie I got for Easter. And it was the one time I remember my parents really... It was the first time I remember them looking at each other. Like, our daughter is special. Because the Ariel's hair was like crimped in this one part, like her bangs were like a little too long and weird,
mm-hmm.
and
just for it being a little off,
just like it got bent in the packaging yeah. or something, because the hair is plastic, and I could not handle that it wasn't perfect. Like I couldn't fucking handle it, and I took off my seatbelt and was just throwing myself around the van, screaming. We were on the way. It was for Easter. I got it. And we're on our way somewhere. And I was just, and I just remember them being like pulling to the side of the road and like having a real like, oh my God. And being like, this isn't working. Whatever I'm doing is not working. They're not like giving me what I need. Whatever it was doing, it didn't, I don't know what I needed.
Was there a perfect toy for you when you were a kid that like just killed it? Like a Slinky or like something that wasn't?
Everything I always had was Stained. I was trying to think of the band, the song.
I was just mad that Ken's penis was so big.
Was it?
No, he had no penis. It was like the idea of my penis being so small that I was jealous of Ken.
No, I realized that I just, everything wasn't perfect. From the very start of my life, things just, my sister always got things that were nicer. Like her dolls just looked nicer. If we got the same food, she had more on her plate. Like I always found a way where everything I got either had a smudge on it or
why
like
are
the
you looking
box
for
was dented.
Negatives you think so much as a kid.
And it's like the way my life still is. Yeah. Like it's, yeah. And I have to say, reading the book A Mother's Reckoning by Sue Klebold, I am very Dylan Klebold. Like the kid, the quiet killer. The one that was like, he was a perfectionist as a child, and she said that he threw tantrums because like he would get embarrassed very easily, and if anything wasn't right, he would like scream and like couldn't handle it, and it was like he just had a perfectionism that led him to have severe suicidal depression that she didn't know about. And I'm like, I've never thought I would relate to one of the Columbine killers. Maybe that's maybe why my fascination with it. Not that I would ever do that. I've never been homicidal. I've been suicidal, not, you know, and just ideations. But there's something about that perfectionism of like, and then when you scream about it and when you yell about it and when you are like, when I'm asking like my parents, like my Barbie, like fix it. Like it wasn't them. There's nothing they could do about it. I just wanted them to acknowledge like you're bad. That's why you get these things. You're fucking not, you're not killing as good it. As other people.
You're not enough.
Like, just, you're not as good.
Instead of being like, just be happy with what you are. I just wanted them to be like, yeah, you are gross. Like I wanted some acknowledgement of it. And then I think I could have been free of it. But of course I don't want that. I don't know what it was, but when kids have perfectionism like this, because in this book she kind of gets into what that means. Like when kids are, when they lose a board game and they fucking flip the thing and they freak out and if they're sore losers, they over time there's nothing that will soothe you. So you just learn to just keep it all inside because it gets annoying to people that you're never perfect enough because no one knows what to say to you. There is nothing to say. So then you internalize it and internalized anger is depression.
I feel like I was almost the opposite of as a kid with like, if I got hand-me-downs or whatever, like I was too afraid to say I deserve. I've never like been able to say that, and like I'm almost jealous of people that are like, no, I deserve to have this thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So as a kid, I got like hand-me-down lacrosse sticks and like hand-me-down cleats. And like my dad was a doctor. It's not like he couldn't afford it, and I still wouldn't open my mouth. Or be able to, I don't know what the hell was happening in my childhood.
Yeah.
That kept me from being like, don't speak up.
Did you get new toys?
I guess we got new toys. I remember getting like, you know what kids love is those automatic trucks, those remote control trucks and cars. I loved those as a kid, jumping those off ramps. But usually I got a skateboard. I remember I was really excited. Presents were, I don't know.
I still to this day do not like buying really nice clothing because I'll find some way that I picked the wrong one out of the five size mediums. I'll pick the one that has a stain on it somewhere or has a stitch out. Like sometimes I go through them all to find which one is the most perfect. And I know that no matter what I choose in the store, I will get it home and realize it is not right. That it doesn't look like that, like that something will be off about it. So that's why I went to TJ Maxx today and was like, I'm free to shop here because everything's fucked up. Like everything there is made in factories by children. Irregular. So the stitching is all off.
Maybe you start a brand where it's already come stained. like that's the whole brand.
Yeah. Is like, well, there's this new luggage brand that, because I'm really scared to get really nice luggage because I'm scared it'll get dented and I'll have that fucking fit again.
Meanwhile, you had the one bag because I guess at that point, there's no expectation. It was like duct taped and There's
if
no,
you have
like, yeah,
something
just
disgusting.
Like,
it can get so, but there's this new brand of luggage that's, you know, like hard case luggage, and it comes pre-dented, almost like a dirty pair of jeans, like with like that
yeah,
are already torn.
Yeah, yeah, with like
so
holes
that
in.
It already that's the style of it. And so you're only going to be contributing to the style of it, which I think is very cool.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I want to get it. I love it. So there, that should be the thing. I get, I have stained, stained
and like
clothing.
Like condoms
brand.
With holes in them. Yeah. You know, like already like ready to ruin your life.
Oh, you know what? That reminds me. If there's a bestie listening, we had two besties. Do you remember those two girls that came to a show one time and they were like freaking out?
Making cards.
What?
That one?
Sorry. Maybe. Yeah. Go there were two girls that were backstage, and one of them, her dad was a doctor in Chicago.
They made cue cards for, or like they made like an outline. Didn't they write
yeah,
something
they
down for us?
Yeah, they did a whole thing for us. Yeah. And it's somewhere in a bag somewhere.
Okay.
And if you're listening or her friend is listening, you offered me some services from your dad in Chicago. And just out of the kindness of your heart, because you were my friend, if you can contact me, I would really appreciate it. Is this isn't bad, Noah, is it?
No, it's fine.
Okay, yeah, it was just, it wasn't because of our show. It was because she was a best friend of
yes.
mine that I can't remember her name. But she said that her dad would offer me something
totally
that I was looking
cool.
into in Chicago. And if you are out there, will you please DM me, because I forgot your name and I really want to take you up on that offer. And then I'll tell you all about it after it happens. I can't remember her name.
I can't either, but I hope her dad comes through on that thing.
I think he will. I'll take a train up to Chicago.
I'm just trying to think of what
prestige.
Would be like the funniest thing using this
I also
this
got
platform.
Another guy. No, there's this other, there's a, it's a separate thing, but I started following this plastic surgeon.
Mm-hmm.
What's his name? I'll give him a shout out because right, he's Frederico. Been like wanting to be on the show. And I was like, we don't have guests, sir. Except like, unless you were my best friend in high school, there ain't no chance you're coming on this show.
Yeah, do you steal anything?
Have you robbed a train before? In New Orleans. And then this other guy hit me up about him. He bought, Dr. Ryan Neinstein. Dr. Neinstein, N-E-I-N, like nine as in German.
Okay.
No. Dr. Neinstein, he, I saw a girl, like one of these TikTok influencers, posted about like her body. She's like had this fucking perfect ass and perfect like torso. And she was like, body by like the gym. And blah, blah, and she was like, and also liposuction and fat removal and BBM, like by Dr. Neinstein. And I was like, I love this girl's being honest about what's going on here, because she's a very skinny girl that could get away with being like, I just work out and I eat right. And
do you think he gave her percentage off to
no,
write that,
I
or do you think she like was leaning into it? You know what
maybe,
I mean?
Maybe he gave her some kind of deal, but it doesn't matter. Like, at least she was honest. Like,
yeah.
I don't mind anyone getting.
I'm just saying, if you're honest, getting $30,000 worth of, like, I'd be honest too if you gave me.
Well, I wouldn't say the doctor's name, but I would be still honest about it if I got something done. If I got a facelift, I would say I got a facelift. But if I paid for it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I hear you. I hear you.
So
I'm not trying to throw dents in your luggage.
It's already dented. Pre-dent. And he wrote to me because I posted it, and I started following him because he does like amazing work where you're just like, oh my God, these before and afters. And and then a friend of his that I'm friends with like texted me today and was like, he would love to give you complimentary services. I mean, not liposuction or anything like that, but I don't want to do liposuction. And we talked about this before because of the how rough they are. When I see them do it, they're going in and out and it's herky jerky and they stretch your skin. It's just like, Jesus Christ.
It's a lot.
I don't want to go under.
I don't know how that helps. I don't know how they
I
come.
Go down under.
How did they learn that? You know, what? If I just beat the shit out of this with a metal rod.
I don't know.
It's wild.
Well, you know, to become a doctor and to do surgery, you have to have some sort of like, you know, people, we talked about this before, but, you know, empathy is such like everyone needs empathy and we love people with empathy. People need more empathy. We're not going to have many doctors if you have too much empathy, because to carve open a human person and to deal every day with people dying, if you had too much empathy, you would be destroyed. So we need people that don't have empathy to be able to do those things, to even deal with, you know, animal rescue, like the things those people, I could never do that stuff.
I mean, my dad was a cancer doctor.
Yeah.
Like that was.
He probably lacks
job,
empathy based on
for
things
sure.
I've heard about your childhood.
Well, I'd complain, he goes, is it cancer? And I'd be like, oh, sorry.
No, wait, really?
I mean, that's kind of a joke, but kind of not. Like, like, he, you know, things were put in perspective. He saw someone die an hour ago and his son's complaining about an old lacrosse stick. It's like, you know, I think there was ways where I think he was probably shut off because of what he had
what
to do.
What stage is your lacrosse stick in?
A 4. That's why I need a new one, Dad. And he's like, well, we'll just give it some chemo and we'll get you back out there.
Fuck, dude.
My dad had breast cancer. That was wild.
Yeah. I mean, when he got it, was he like, well.
Well, he's got them big fat titties.
But was he, did he have a, do you feel like he had like a less like grave, you know?
No, more. Like I think he more.
Knew the truth of it.
Well, here's the thing. He felt it himself. He self-diagnosed himself. That's kind of wild.
Is that how he comes?
To what, feel his own tits?
Yeah, he had to give himself a little jam.
Yeah, that's how he found it. He actually found it in the shower,
does
so
he
maybe.
Puffs?
Huh?
Does
oh,
he puffs?
Yeah.
So
I'm
maybe
probably.
He was trying to puff up or like tweak his puffs.
Well, he just started lifting again. He started working out because
so he was
retired.
Doing the Andrew
so
thing.
He's feeling his own
he
nipples.
He's feeling his own facts. He's feeling himself.
No, I just found out.
Stop it. Yeah, oh my God, that just scared me. Andrew acted like he felt a lump inside his chest. That really did scare me.
So he right away knew timing's everything with this shit. So he went, he had a mastectomy within. Like days of feeling his, and it didn't get to the lymph nodes.
Do you ever want
to
get one just to get rid of those puffs?
Or like,
cancer? Do you have the BRCA gene? Have you gotten tested for that?
Oh, I mean, we did that thing.
23andMe.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll find out.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure I've some, I mean, I don't have great genes when it comes to cancer. I mean, it's in my family, in the butt, in the tits. I'll probably get in the cock or something. I'll look like Ken. So my dad, though, he dealt with it in the best way ever because he got his boob removed and we're all like stressed out and stuff. He's like, oh, son. Well, he didn't go, oh, my baby boy.
Yeah. Does he call you son?
Oh, my dearest Andrew. Son. He was like, it helped my golf. He goes, I wish I got the other one removed so then my golf swing would be better.
Oh, yeah, because small-titted women do better in golf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and big-titted men don't do well.
And
you know,
tiny, tiny men do well in F1 and also jockeying.
And they do well in golf, too. And so he was talking about how he'd make the senior tour. And it was just a way to look at it, like this pretty, you know, tough thing to go through.
There's always a bright side.
Yeah.
I think. I mean, I don't know about, like, with genocide and stuff, but I feel like... Even the other day, we were like checking into the wrong hotel and we had to wait, and it had been the longest travel day. And it was like, I was so annoyed and like apologetic to Chris because I'm like, I pulled him along on this. It's just been the fucking biggest waste of our time all day long. And he was like, and then we end up having to be at the other hotel. And I'm like, I cannot believe, we wake up in the morning. I'm like, I can't believe last night, all of that was for nothing. We could have just gone to the W and been in an amazing hotel room and slept. And he goes, but we wouldn't have run into Rachel Feinstein.
Oh.
And that was really special for you and me. And I was like,
I thought he was
going
to look at you and go, it wasn't cancer. It's not cancer. Maybe that's our new saying whenever we're complaining.
It's not cancer.
It's not cancer. But
I mean,
it. Yeah.
And then someday it will be. And then you'll go, well, at least it's not.
I mean, yeah.
Because, it. I mean, eventually it gets you. I think that if you live long enough, like humans, we can, I've heard that our brain, like they could probably like,
how long we could last?
We're going to keep living longer and longer, but the problem is you'll eventually, the odds are you'll get cancer or your brain will just, like, you can't, that they can't keep our brains as youthful. So your body, but like eventually around 100, your brain starts just
I mean, it is weird to think with Botox and everything, like you could look 45, but be 208.
Yeah.
Like, you're just like...
People be looking younger than ever right now. It's crazy. It's so wild. Okay, we got to take a break and we'll come back with Reddit Dump.
Are you looking for some amazing TV to stream? Well, sink into your couch and indulge with the hits on Hulu you can't miss. We're talking some of the greatest comedies of all time. Absolute must-watch shows. Dive in with Barney, Ted, Robin, and the crew in How I Met Your Mother. All 9 seasons of How I Met Your Mother are now streaming on Hulu right now. One of my favorite shows ever. And I mean, don't you want to know how he met their mother? Then go back home with the Dumfies, the Pritchetts, and the Pritchett Tuckers in Modern Family. Then you can start over with the Roses on Schitt's Creek. And then see what's up in the Kyle household in My Wife and Kids. We're talking every episode and every season of these shows. We're talking huge hits, streaming on Hulu whenever you're in the mood. I mean, can you even watch all of this? We think so. Head on over to Hulu and start streaming today. Now we're talking.
Oh my God, you guys, I'm so excited that Don't Tell Comedy is sponsoring this podcast because they have like all of my favorite clips on Instagram Reels. I'm constantly discovering new comedians from these clips. And I always like, how do you even go to these shows? Where are they happening? Well, now I know because I have the information right here. You can go to one of these shows. Don't Tell Comedy are putting on the coolest comedy shows in the country. This isn't like a comedy club. This isn't a theater. These are small, unique venues like on rooftops, backyards, art galleries. If you're looking for a fun night out in your town, which it's probably in your town because these shows used to just be in LA and now they are all over the country, 150 cities in Canada, the US, and the UK. Don't Tell Comedy is the best thing for you to go out and explore and do. You're going to see amazing new comedians. You're going to see pop-ins from famous comedians. You've seen the clips online. Be a part of the experience live in person and do it on me, guys. Get tickets at don'ttellcomedy.com and then use the code Nikki for 20% off your first show. 20% off. That's freaking good.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elia Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow, thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back. Let's get to the news and just skip right to why do I care?
Why do I care?
Okay, well, I had to include this story in the news because we got a lot of besties chiming in wanting to hear your opinion.
Oh.
All right. The celebrity with the worst private jet CO2 emissions.
Oh, God, I know.
Is actually Taylor Swift. A report by the marketing agency The Yard said that Taylor's jet flew 170 times in the first 200 days of the year. This is more emissions in just 7 months than 1,100 average people would put out in a year. And there's been an update as of this morning.
She said that it's mostly not her and it's been loaned out.
That's from her rep to BuzzFeed. But today,
is she on tour?
No. Huh?
Oh, interesting.
She's not been on tour. No. You think no. I'd be here if she was on tour?
That's true. Camping out.
And pictures have surfaced from July 5th before the report came out of Taylor Swift coming out of her private jet, hiding herself under a huge umbrella.
Thoughts? Okay, so she has used it.
Yes. She has two private jets.
Private jets are terrible for the environment.
Mm-hmm.
They are, yes. But my thing is, every American, I'm not going to say every American, 90% of people, if you were Taylor Swift and could afford a private jet,
yes,
you would do it too. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I mean, it's so easy to point your finger and go like, how could she? You have never been on a private jet. You don't know what it's like to be a celebrity where, and neither do I, where everything everywhere you go is just hell. And like everyone's bothering you. And if you aren't nice to them, you're labeled a fucking cunt. She is what I think she should do, because I saw this and I was like, this isn't going to be good, but it's going to be good for me because I might see Taylor Swift at the airport, because she is definitely going to correct this.
You're going to see her on Southwest now?
I really do. Not Southwest, but I might see her on like a Delta or a United or even an American.
In the middle eating peanuts. Like, yes. I'm just like you guys. Don't touch me.
Yeah. No, she's not going to be in group C.
Wait, if you saw her on your flight, what would you do? Would you go up to her?
It's a great question.
Oh, man.
I would do what I instruct everyone to do with a celebrity. I would just say, I love you. And then I would just walk on and I'd say, thank you. I love you and thank you for everything. And then go on my way, because you know what? Any part of me going up to her and giving my energy of like, I love you so much. Like, I can't. Like, it's going to take something from her. Now, to besties that meet me, when I do a meet and greet, I'm asking for that. Like, that is me putting myself there, mm-hmm, for you to bring that energy to me. But in public, I'm not as famous as Taylor Swift, so I don't have as much work to do as she does in terms of like writing songs and stuff. To me, I know she would be so sweet and go like, oh, thank you. And like, oh my God, that's so nice. That energy she has to give me is sucking her creative force out. And is going to lead her to be able to maybe work less that day, put less energy into songwriting, put less energy into her friends and her cats and the thing that she loves. Like, she doesn't need to have to like scaffold my fucking falling like emotions.
But this is exactly why she would she'd rather, instead of dealing with that, put CO2 into
the
sky.
That's exactly why. Yeah. I mean, she's doing it because she doesn't want to deal with meeting people, because it's constant. These planes, if you don't be nice to people, they will write about you and word will spread that you're a bitch. And like, Taylor does not want to be a bitch.
It's weird too to be like, if she is renting it out, I mean, then you're going to get mad at every airline, because an airplane's right. $40 million or whatever it is. Like, you get a return on your investment. It's like an Airbnb. You're getting money.
Yes.
Like, what are you doing? Like, it's not like she's flying 170 times. Like, I'm actually getting my pilot license. Like, she doesn't.
Oh, my God.
Could you imagine if she
most of her trips, by the way, were to St. Louis.
What?
Most of her flights. And the thoughts are that her mom has relatives here.
Oh, you're being serious.
Yeah. To Missouri. I don't know if they've said St. Louis specifically, but to Missouri, Taylor's plane is landing all the ding-dang time. But, I mean, I really I know I'm a Taylor Swift apologist through and through, but there's a part of me that feels really bad for her, because, you know, this all came up of, like, how terrible it is for the world a couple months ago when Kylie Jenner, mm-hmm, got busted. That's why they even led them to do these reports, to see what celebrities are burning the most fuel. And it's so bad. And that's – I saw Al Gore on a fucking Southwest flight.
Well, DiCaprio is, like, the big – person that like flies everywhere, but he believes
everyone's
in
but this is again the like, well then, but you did this, you know, like this is again the classic like, okay,
what about
it negates everything she's done for the LGBTQ community, it negates everything she's done for like women's rights, oh well it negates everything she's done maybe even about like, you know, supporting Democrats in her state. Oh, you really care about the environment? Look what you did. It's like, both can be true. This is the Amber Heard, Johnny Depp thing. Like, it doesn't have to be like, just right. Because she's a little hypocritical in this way, in a way that she probably didn't really understand the impact of. And once she does, because she is a smart, compassionate person, she will correct it. And that's why I'm excited to see her in line at, you know, to get some carrots and hummus at the Delta Lounge.
Yeah. I mean, look, if she was flying to fucking Tulum every weekend, I'd be like, she should fucking, you should spit on her.
Yeah. We need an underground railroad for celebrities now.
Yeah, but even that, under there, I mean, who knows? You're going to mess something up in the core.
That's the pull quote that someone says, where they're like, Nikki Glaser makes a slavery joke about, like,
Oh.
Yeah. Mocks abolitionist, the abolitionist movement.
How could you?
By making joke about Taylor Swift and how celebrities need to do the same thing slaves did to free themselves.
And then I would be like, you don't even know what Nikki Glaser does for Taylor Swift.
And you don't even know how fucking dumb she is and doesn't really understand what the Underground Railroad is.
Yeah, I mean, you think it's literally a railroad. Like
someone
a
was choo-choo. Just wanting to do, oh, Carmen Lynch was wanting to do a joke about that. Remember when we were backstage and she was like, I really did think, I'm trying to do Carmen Lynch. That the Underground Railroad was the underground was an actual railroad.
I thought
was
like, that I think for a we all time. Did. Yeah, yeah, until yeah. now.
All right, let's get to Reddit.
Karaoke mode.
This is your Reddit dump. I love the Okay. I liked this. This was kind of like a thing going around on Reddit the past couple of days. This is the first time I saw it. It said it was from Ask New NYC. Mm-hmm. The subreddit where they just ask questions about New York. It said, I'm looking for a poor quality yet expensive restaurant to suggest to an enemy. Any suggestions? So someone that like probably thinks that this person doesn't hate them, ask them for a restaurant suggestion. And so people go, someone said, haven't heard the best reviews of Cipriani downtown. Someone said, Cipriani. Nello yeah. on Upper East Side. It's unimpressive bistro food catering to very wealthy people who all know each other, and your enemy's bill will be astronomical. The New York Times negative critique of it is the funniest restaurant review I've ever read. Let's just take a look at this review and see why it's so funny.
I mean, literally in New York, though, you could send them to Olive Garden in Midtown. And it's so expensive.
Oh, that's there. A good one. But then they wouldn't go there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
Okay, I found this was really good. The review was on a paywall, so I couldn't bring it up. Okay, this is from the subreddit Too Afraid to Ask. How do obese people have sex? How do people who weigh around or over 450 pounds or 200 kilograms have sex? Kilos. Can they have sex in the traditional sense? I mean, no disrespect with this question. Just curious. That reminds me of F boys. They always like, no disrespect, with all respect. Like, I just think that you're a snake. Okay. And I found this answer really interesting and perfectly visual. A friend of mine who's an OBGYN had a pregnant patient who was quite large and also quite forthcoming with details about her sex life. Per the patient, she would lie on her back. She and her partner would lift her excess skin using a broomstick held horizontally across her abdomen. Then she would hold onto the broomstick and pull up while he went to town.
Ooh.
I thought that was very innovative, and I liked it a lot.
But what if he was also overweight? I think that's...
Well,
I think he
just could get
brooms.
On his knees and eat. You know, like I was picturing... Yeah, maybe two brooms.
Two brooms.
Someone said, have you ever watched someone put eye contacts in? They kind of awkwardly hold open one eyelid with one finger and the other with a different finger. Then try to shove the lens in with another, hoping they don't drop the lens or let go of an eyelid or poke themselves in the eyeball. It's like that, but with your naughty bits. I thought that was interesting. Hmm. Okay. This was from Cool Guides. It's like a visual guides for like cool things. Cool Guides, G-U-I-D-E-S. And this was about rescuing a dog. And this is really important. So if you or someone you know is about to rescue a dog, there's a rule in the rescue trade called the 3-3-3 rule. So 3 days, it takes 3 days for your rescue dog, usually who's traumatized by being in a shelter, mm-hmm. or by their past trauma, 3 days. Give your dog 3 days before you take them back because they need to decompress. They're feeling overwhelmed. They may feel scared, unsure of what's going on. They're not comfortable enough to be their self. They may not want to eat or drink, and they shut down or hide under furniture, okay? Within 3 weeks, give your dog 3 weeks to learn your routine. Allow them 3 weeks to start settling in, feel more comfortable, realize this could be home forever, figure out their environment, get into a routine, let their guard down. And they said behavior issues may start to appear. 3 months is when the dog's to start to feel at home. Finally feels comfortable in his home, begins to build trust in a true bond, gains a complete sense of security with his new family, and sets into a routine. 3-3-3. Do not return your rescue dog if you really want to see it through, because when I got Luigi, I really did think the first day, I was like, I'm being kind, I'm being soft, I'm being gentle. Yeah. Why won't this dog fucking like me? I cried. I was like, I'm bad at this. I was already looking into finding him a new foster home because I just didn't want him to be miserable. I thought, if something is wrong with me, it wasn't. I just needed to wait, and he just needed, so the 3-3-3 rule.
I love that dogs don't give it up right away. I really do. Like, I mean, not because that they're tortured and that they fucking feel, but I like that you have to earn it a little bit. Like, I don't know, it just makes the bond that much better.
This is from Ask Women. Yeah, I think you're right too. Like, you have to earn it.
Yeah.
Same with cats. I mean, cats sometimes, dude, they never give it up.
When Mango, when we got him, he was, so he was already adopted. The dog that they adopted was trying to kill him. So he was like afraid of everything. He went under behind the fridge for like 4 days. Like, I don't know. So eventually he came out, and now he's like, hates me in different ways, but it's cool.
Okay. This one is from Ask Women. It says, what is the thing you saw other women doing that you thought was so stupid and now you do it and it makes perfect sense? Someone said, I didn't think it was stupid, but seeing women be really rude or mean to men seemed unnecessary. But now I realize you kind of have to shut their advances down fast or else they just keep trying. Interesting. I will say that I used to see women on TV shows just hearsay, like, demand things from their boyfriends or nag, or like even seeing my mom be like, EJ, you need to take the trash, like that kind of tone, or like, I don't like, get off me, or I don't like when you do this. Oh, you're watching this again. Like, being bitches or nags. And I never understood how you could do that, because then they'll just leave you.
Like, but isn't the point is now that you would do it? Is that what the
Now I realize that yes, they went too far with it.
Yeah.
But having boundaries and being like, I don't like when you do this. I feel like you haven't been doing a lot of this around the house, or like that stuff. I would have, my first relationship with Chris, like, I look at ourselves as having at least four relationships. My first 2 years with him, never complained about anything. Never once, ever. If he hurt my feelings, if he, you know, I felt abandoned by him, if he said something rude that he didn't, like, I would never say anything because I was so scared he would leave me. And then the first time I did have a complaint, he did leave me. So it, like, then it validated everything. But my complaint was a boundary that I had that was important to me that I didn't know he couldn't give me. And so he respected himself by saying, like, well, I can't give you that. And if you need to be with someone that wants that, I thought he was just going to cave and give it to me, which was like saying, I love you. And he was like, I don't say that. And I don't feel it.
So you waited on.
I waited forever. And then I finally cracked and was like, I need you to say I love you. Because I thought that's all you do is like, someone's got to say it first. And I was like, he's not going to say it first. Okay, fine. I'll say it first. And then he didn't say it back. And he was like, I just don't, not going to. I don't feel it. So I'm not going to say it. And I was like, well, I need to be with someone who says it. And I thought that would get him to do it. And he still was like, well, then you need to be with someone else. And I was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
And then we had to break up. And so then when we got back together, I was even more stringent about not asking for anything because I was scared that, you know, he was going to be his own person and stick by what he, you know,
like, will
did.
You at least say you like me? Like, you start
no,
lower.
No, he said, that's what he said. He was, I'm enthusiastic about being with you.
Oh, yeah.
Final thought. But now he says, I love you all the freaking time, almost too
like,
much.
Can you stop?
Yeah, it's awesome. He says it constantly now. That's what leads me to believe that someone, like,
things can change.
Do not get back together with your ex-boyfriend if they haven't changed or if you haven't changed. Like, that is a good, like, if you broke up for a reason, like, stay apart. But if you've taken time apart and you feel like you're different people, absolutely get back together. You have a good foundation, obviously, of something. And yeah, it's the best. I recommend it. Okay, this is something other let's get back to the top. What is the thing you saw other women doing that you thought was stupid and now you do it and it totally makes sense? Moisturizing, using sunscreen. I realized when I was 28, I don't want to look like an old leather handbag by the time I'm 35. And I want men to buy me old leather handbags, so I'm going to keep moisturizing.
I'll just make one out of your face.
Asserting dominance against males. I need to do it now because I'm an engineer and I work with old conservative men in their 50s. Okay. Opening their mouths when putting on mascara or eyeliner. That shit helps and works.
Yes.
A lot of parenting things, says one woman. Most notably, kids on a leash. Someone said, taking your bra off to go to bed. No joke. Like, I thought, why would I let these things flop all over themselves in my sleep? And now I understand that bras are terribly uncomfortable, and I'm genuinely confused by how I tolerated wearing one 24/7. I used to do that, too. I used to wear a bra every single night to bed because I wanted to keep those puppies in place.
Oh.
But then they kind of atrophy because they don't have to build muscle to support themselves, and then they get even more sloppy. Okay. This is a really cute thing from Made Me Cry. If you ever are in the mood to just read really touching things that won't make you sad, they'll just make you feel like, oh.
Happy, sad.
Made Me Cry. It says, I told my five-year-old that I had tried to be an opera singer but couldn't cope with the stage fright. Today, my husband sent me this. And it's a child's drawing of a stage and two people on the stage and then little dots, little circles for all the audience members. And the two stick figures, he says, by the way, the husband wrote with this. By the way, I don't know if you saw this picture she did of you and her. You're on stage together in front of an audience, and the stuff coming out of your mouth is opera. And it's just like a bunch of stuff coming out. It's the cutest child's drawing.
He probably drew it.
And then this is from Sex subreddit. I bought my husband a sex toy and now I'm jealous of it. My husband and I have a great sex life and we are very open. I am bisexual and he is straight. He loves buying sex toys for me and using them on me. There's really never a time we have intercourse where he does not use a vibrator on me as well. We have bought him penis pumps in the past, which we both would really enjoy because they would kind of get him ready for action. And Andrew, you know about penis pumps.
Well, but just 1 year of my life. For a few weeks,
he has been hinting about wanting to buy this vibrating sleeve. It's not that I didn't want him to buy it. I just didn't get around to it. Yesterday, we finally did, and he was excited about it all day. I was too. So later on, after the kids were asleep, we started fooling around, and I asked him if he would like to try it out. When it came time to use it, his reaction to it was so obviously better than anything I've ever done for him. His thrusting into it and the moaning, it did not turn me on to see it. It actually kind of made me feel sick. I pretended to come so he would too and then quickly told him I was tired. I hardly slept though. All I kept thinking about was his reaction to this vibrating silicone toy and the horrible effect it's having on me. I want to move past this. I have never felt this way before from sex. She had an update. I spoke with my husband about it and he totally understood where I was coming from. Past relationships, he has felt a little intimidated by toys and he doesn't want me to feel that way. He offered to throw it out, but I told him no fucking way. We're trying it out again tonight. Also, thanks so much to everyone who advised me to speak with him and gave me some icebreakers on how to approach the subject. This is why it's so nice. And then they have a link to the toy.
That's what I was going to say. I bet you so many of our listeners are like, what is the fucking toy?
It's from Target.
It was a great marketing.
It's called the Cake Vibrating Stroker Rechargeable Massaging Toy.
By Allen Iverson.
I am getting this. This is amazing.
Oh, okay.
It looks like
an embryo.
Yeah, it looks like a goldfish cracker.
I'm definitely getting this. I love that we're that far in things where it's like, yeah, it's on aisle 4. Yeah, it's right next to the fucking fake mouth that you fuck.
I can't believe they sell these at Target. They have a lot of good stuff. It's by Cake, the brand Cake.
I mean, I lost my mind when CVS had dick vibrating like holders for your cock.
Yeah?
Yeah, I just didn't know that they were in there. I never was looking. I guess I wasn't having that much sex.
Also, just wrap your CVS receipt around your dick. And it will get so thick with all the winding up of it that it'll be a good stroker.
You haven't been a queen in a while, the CVS queen.
Oh yeah, Prince or Miss CVS.
Yeah,
used to drape it across myself like a pageant queen. It's a fun little thing to do at CVS if you ever get a long receipt.
So much
from
paper,
there.
Taylor Swift of machines.
Yes. Oh
so
my god.
So much wasteful.
Nikki Glaser. Wait. Waste so much paper at CVS. Yeah.
But I didn't buy it all.
It wasn't for me. I was loaning out my shopping. It's just so funny. Taylor never does anything wrong. And so I know she's spiraling about this. My thoughts are with her.
I'm sure they'll figure it out.
Guys, we'll have so many more episodes
They're
this week.
Giving
exactly
food
two.
To someone. Like dropping off food to Africa or something.
She'll find a way out. She always do. We have two more episodes this week. I'll be in Los Angeles tomorrow for the next two. But we will be here for you. I hope you listen. Thank you so much for listening. We love you, besties. Dopika and Jack.
Up gas prices, Joe Biden. Got him, dude.
You in those sunglasses.
Fuck that,
That's a
dude.
Look.
They're actually, prices are going down.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at conairgirlbomb.com or a retailer near you.
This is so cool. Don't Tell Comedy is sponsoring this podcast. Don't Tell Comedy are comedy shows that happen in these really intimate, unique spaces like art galleries and backyards and rooftops. I did one of their first shows in 2017. It was in a random clothing store in LA. Now they are in 150 cities worldwide. You got to check them out. They are such a perfect night out. Don't Tell Comedy is the spot to go. Date night, alone night, friend night, whatever you want it to be. It's so fun. Get tickets at donttellcomedy.com. Use the code Nikki for 20% off your first show. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com. Looking for some amazing TV to stream? Indulge yourself with the hits on Hulu you can't miss. Dive in with Barney, Ted, Robin, and the gang on How I Met Your Mother. All 9 seasons are now streaming on Hulu. Then you can move to Modern Family, Schitt's Creek, and My Wife and Kids. We are talking every single episode of every season of these shows. We're talking huge hits. Streaming on Hulu whenever you're in the mood. Now we're talking.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.